St. George's number one station with Washington County's top talk show. The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. 9:09 on KDXU. A cloudy day here in St. George, but not really much in the way of rain. I should warn you, just reading the weather forecast all morning long, we are probably in for a few more showers in the early afternoon, but then it looks like it's going to kind of go away and be a nice evening. It is Mayor Thursday on the Andy Griffin Show. Brandon Humphreys from Enterprise City is with me via the telephone this morning. Brandon, how are you?
Very good. How are you this morning, Andy?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on today. I know you probably don't want to get into it too much, but you've had some health issues, and we haven't had you on for a while, but I'm sure glad that you're doing a little bit better and you're able to join us.
It is so good to feel good enough to be on your show this morning. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We talk a lot about moisture and rain here in St. George. It hasn't really snowed, a little skiff here or there. But in Enterprise, it's a different story. How's the white stuff up that way?
You know, surprisingly enough, yesterday afternoon was rain here.
Really?
Through the evening time. And right on the valley floor, there's very, very little snow on the valley floor. Now, on the north-facing sides of the mountains, it's a completely different story.
Right.
And as you well know, we're about 298% of normal for our snowpack and for our annual precipitation for this time of the year. And we are very fortunate and grateful to have that that kind of moisture stored in the snow up in the mountains. And we hope that it comes off in a relatively long manner so that we don't have flooding that causes challenges down the stream.
Yeah, for sure. Now, how's the reservoir looking up there?
The reservoirs, both the upper and the lower, filled. We ran over the spillway about 14 days ago.
Wow.
And the upper reservoir was near empty, and it took 7 days for it to fill. When we had that high runoff for that short period of time, the upper reservoir filled in that short of a period.
As most mayors, of course, you have to worry about water, and is there going to be enough water to supply your city with what it needs? The water guys tell me, Zach Renstrom and those guys tell me, the drought is not officially over. We need several years like this for the drought to be officially over, but it's got to be a relief for you, a resident, a rancher, a guy that is an Enterprise guy, to know that at least for this year, having enough water is not going to be a big concern.
It potentially, and on the immediate, for the immediate need right now, obviously the forecast is that we're going to have plenty of water for this year.
Yeah.
But I agree with Zach 100%. If you look back over history, it would have been the early 80s. I believe it was 82 through like 1985. Is when we had the last 3 years in a row of higher than average precipitation that put us on track to be out of a drought type situation. One of the many hats I wear is the water master for the irrigation system as well.
Oh.
And for most people, they don't know that the reservoirs, both the upper and the lower reservoirs, are owned by the Enterprise Canal Reservoir and Canal Company, which their primary focus and their goal is to supply the farmers with agricultural needs. So the direct tie to those reservoirs to the city, as far as from a culinary perspective, is not there. So the city itself has two springs that we use to supply our culinary water, as well as two backup wells. And right now our springs are running higher than average and higher than normal for our culinary side, which is a very good sign. And hopefully we can continue that for several years, just as Zach has said, for several years and hopefully be on the road to getting away from the drought situation, at least the severe drought situation.
Yeah. Get ourselves headed on the right track, and maybe, I don't know if we'll have two or three years of moisture in a row. That would sure be nice, but I I wouldn't bet money on that at all, Brandon.
I don't bet against Mother Nature or on Mother Nature ever.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I often do when I have guests on the show. I ask them before the show, is there anything that you don't want, any topic that's, you know, hands off, don't talk about this. I asked Brandon that a little while ago, and Brandon said, you know what, I've never been one to dodge questions. I'll talk about anything you want to talk about. That's admirable, Brandon. I guess no fear, right?
There is a fear, actually, but I'm one who there's no reason to avoid it, because sooner or later it's going to come back around and you're going to have to answer it anyway. And there's a lot of questions that I don't know the answer to, but I'm very willing to tell you that I don't know the answer to those questions, but I'll do the research and get back with you on those questions that you would ask that I don't know the answers to.
And one of those questions would be about growth. In St. George, obviously, things have gotten pretty wild. We're up to 100,000. I moved here in 93. It was, I think, 33,000 or something like that. So in 30 years, we've tripled in size. What is happening to enterprise growth-wise? I mean, you've seen some, obviously. Has it been explosive like we've seen down here in the lower parts of Washington County?
On a percentage basis, I don't know the exact numbers, but I do know that in the last year, we have issued more building permits than any year previous to that in our history. So yes, we have noticed that type of growth as well. And ultimately, that growth is necessary, in my opinion, to allow, first of all, where a lot of our residents commute back and forth to either Cedar or St. George, to work, it's obviously the type of community that people want to live in. It's quiet. It's like going back in time.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's been since you've been here, but a lot of people say it's like 30 years ago, like St. George used to be. It's that hometown feel. We love it that way, and we believe that. When I say we, I'm talking about me directly. I believe that growth is necessary. Within moderation, as long as the infrastructure can handle it, and as long as the city is geared up to be able to handle it, I believe that growth is necessary for the future of any community.
What month is Cornfest normally? Because that was the last time I was there. It was the last Cornfest.
Last Cornfest, August, I believe it's. Okay. And I would have to talk to Councilman Moody on this one, but I believe it's traditionally been the third Saturday in August. And I know it's always been in August, but I don't know exactly what weekend, but I believe it's the third weekend in August.
Nothing like fresh enterprise, sweet fresh enterprise corn for sure in August. When I first relocated to Southern Utah, one of the first sports I covered was baseball, and I was not surprised, I guess, but delighted to find out that Enterprise had quite a baseball tradition. Now, today is opening day for Major League Baseball. Also, obviously, high school baseball has been going on a little while, too. But where does the proficiency at baseball come from in the town of Enterprise? You guys have always been pretty good at baseball.
Been pretty good. It's always been a sport, obviously, coming from a small community. It's been one of those sports that there's been enough athletes to actually participate in that sporting event.
Yeah.
And so they focused on it and have been very good at playing baseball. Obviously, we're a pretty competitive community. I have to chuckle just a little bit because some people think we might be a little over competitive in that regard when it comes to high school sports. But between the softball, our girls softball team, and of course I'm a little biased. I love the girls softball team because I've got a daughter that plays on the team. 2 years ago, they won the state championship. Last year, they were second. This year, they're starting off on a really good note, and the baseball team looks like they're starting off on a good note as well. So they're competitors. Those high school kids are competitors, and they're coached well, and they love a challenge.
Years ago, this would have been 90, maybe 94, I was covering some kind of tournament. Enterprise was in it, and they were playing a team from Nevada. And this is kind of to illustrate how competitive Enterprise is. The game was close. It was exciting. in baseball, those who are baseball fans know if you get a force out on the final out of an inning, then even if there was a guy at third, that run doesn't count. Well, somehow the Enterprise scorekeeper had missed that and had counted that run. And I was covering the game for the newspaper, the Spectrum, at the time, and I had one score, and the scorekeeper for Enterprise had another score. So I got up and went to the press box and explained the play to them, and they the person keeping score, and I have no idea what her name was. It was a lady, probably a mom of one of the kids or whatever, but she lit me up. She's, you know, telling me I don't know anything about baseball, and I, you know, Enterprise is a place that we know baseball more than anybody else, and just went on and on and on. And of course, about half an hour later, she came back to me and apologized and said, "You were right. I shouldn't have counted that run." But the good news, Enterprise won the game. The bad news is she called my boss after the game and said I was rude the way I handled it, and I got reprimanded at work. But, you know, other than that, it all turned out okay.
Well, I apologize for the from the city's perspective.
No, it's no worries.
Somebody would go to the extent of reprimanding somebody at work for doing their job. In 94, I was just a youngster, so I wouldn't even probably know who that was or understand the situation.
Honestly, I have no idea either. I do know this. It was a weird between games. A couple of the players from Nevada went behind the fences and were smoking. And I thought, maybe Enterprise folks are a little angry because they're playing guys. I think it was an AAU thing. It was like 19U. And some of the players from Nevada looked like they were maybe in their late 20s. And so I mean, I could understand Enterprise being a little bit defensive about the whole thing. But they did win. So, that I mean, bottom line, that was the most important thing, right?
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
I personally believe that there's a lot more to sports, particularly young youth sports, than winning.
True.
But competition I believe is something that I believe needs to be there as well, and I believe that those who work hard and play hard should be rewarded with a win. And the participation trophies should be reserved for babies who can't speak yet.
Well, I guess that there was, a little bit of righteous indignation for the Enterprise kids because they were following the rules. There were truly kids that were, you know, under the age of 19, and this other team had what looked like professional baseball players, and they still beat them. So, to me, that I think was the lesson I learned out of all that was the Enterprise kids followed the rules and won anyway. So. Very cool. We're talking with Brandon Humphreys, the mayor of Enterprise, Utah, just up the hill. How long does it take you to drive from St. George to Enterprise or vice versa? Is it maybe 45 minutes? Is that about right?
Yeah, between 45 and an hour. Right now there's road construction on U-18, which this time of the year seems like always is the case. So that can be just a touch frustrating. We'll be happy when the improvements are made and it will make the road safer. So you better plan on a few extra minutes. So just under an hour.
Talk about inflation a little bit, will you, if you will, Brandon. Inflation has touched us all. The price of gas. I mean, we just talked about it. It's a good drive if you're going to or from Enterprise to other parts of the county, other parts of if you're going into Cedar or the parts of the state. How bad has Enterprise been touched by inflation?
I think individually, it's affected all of us in ways that I may not understand. Inflation has not seemed to slow necessarily our residents at this point. I think it's pretty early on for us to see the true effects of what inflation is going to do to individually. I believe we're a little bit too soon to see the effect that's going to have. Obviously, from an investor standpoint, there's some serious challenges that come with inflation. Personally, I have seen in my personal life, I've seen that a little bit, but as I said, I believe we're 6 months to a year before we really understand what that's going to be.
Enterprise is, for those of you who don't know, just as Brandon said, up U-18 or SR-18, and it's less than an hour drive. A lot of folks that live in Enterprise commute to St. George or to Cedar City. I actually have a good friend of mine that I play pickleball with. He actually does it the other way. He lives in Washington City and drives to Enterprise every day for work. He's a brave soul because some days at 7 o'clock in the morning on SR 18, it's not a pretty sight.
Yeah, the roads have, as you well know, you gain, for those who don't know, you gain a substantial amount of elevation. We're just right at a mile high here in Enterprise, and your elevation down there is, what, 2,000?
2,600, so something like that, yeah.
You gain a substantial amount of elevation, and on those days, particularly this last winter, where we've had the snowfall that we've had, sometimes the roads aren't the best to drive on, but those are the days that you need to leave just a little bit early and slow down and take your time, and you'll get here.
I'm curious about the, and again, I guess we should probably go over some of the basics of Enterprise. How big, what's the population right now?
I would have to ask my city manager directly where we're at right now. Like I said, Andy, because I've been kind of out of the loop on the numbers for the last year. And so I wouldn't dare give you an exact number, but we are going to be, I'm going to guess, just under 1,000 households and 2,000 residents, plus or minus.
Okay. How about your police force? Tell us a little bit about the Enterprise Police Force.
So the Enterprise Police Force, there is no such thing.
Okay.
We contract with Washington County. Washington County provides our law enforcement for us. And that's one thing that we have noticed is a decrease in the calls and a decrease in the amount of crime that has taken place over the last year.
A decrease?
A decrease, that's correct.
That's awesome.
Our law enforcement, the Washington County Sheriff's Department, does an incredible job for us in that regard. And we have several law enforcement officers who live in our community that don't necessarily cover our community, we have several Utah Highway Patrolmen who live in our community, as well as Washington County Sheriff's Department personnel who live here within our community.
When I was up for Corn Fest last August, I went to eat at Marv's, and everybody loves Marv's in Enterprise, one of the great burgers you can find anywhere. But I'm sitting there eating with my family, and a couple of guys walk in, and it felt like we were back in the 1880s in the Old West. They were both wearing sidearms, not concealed carry, but these guys had holsters and were wearing Colt 45s. And I suspect that if you were thinking about committing a crime in Enterprise, you probably wouldn't have to worry as much about police presence as just about every resident, making sure that they are taking care of themselves.
I believe that you are fairly accurate in that regard. I would be very uncomfortable in entering somebody's home without being invited in our community, just because people are very willing to protect their own property and their own peace of mind and their own well-being.
When you look at, we're talking laws a little bit, when you look at some of the laws around the country and some of the laws that have been enacted in the state of Utah, do any of those stand out to you as things that might or may have a big factor on the town of Enterprise?
Not necessarily. Is there one in particular that you're thinking about or just in general?
Not really one in particular. I just know the governor has signed some things lately, with different topics. I know we have a new flag, by the way. I don't know how you feel about our new flag. I actually kind of like it, but I seem to be in the minority around here.
I don't necessarily dislike it. What I do, where I do come from in that regard is it's a little like some of the other things that's happened in Southern Utah when it comes to renaming or rebranding things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can probably just assume what I'm talking about there.
Yeah.
There is a huge
certain university.
Certain university that may exist in Southern Utah. I am a Dixie man through and through. I'm a graduate of Dixie High School. And just the sheer cost that's associated with changing either a flag or a university, the sheer cost that's involved with that, I believe, is a huge waste. And while I understand that change is necessary to keep up with the times, when you're dealing with taxpayer dollars, I believe that it's a pretty sacred responsibility that we have as elected officials to make sure that that money is used in a right way, and not just so that we can say we did something while we were in office.
That's well said. And my good wife, who is very much a budget-conscious person, i.e. she's cheap, that was the first thing she said when we were talking about the university changing the name, was think of all the money that it's going to cost to rebrand, to change every single name, sign, program, whatever, stationery, business card is for the entire university. And I guess you could probably say the same about the state flag, the cost. You know, is somebody going to get rich off of changing the flag? I don't know the answer to that, but I know then you have to start asking, Brandon, is the question is why did they change? Did it need to be changed? If it didn't need to be changed, then what's the real reason behind it? So I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, and I don't know what the reason is for the change. On that regard, I really don't know what the reason was. Governor Cox, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on which way you want to look at it, he didn't call and ask my opinion on that. but the new flag, I have nothing against it, but I like the old flag too. So was it worth the cost that's associated? We really don't know, because we don't know what the cost is going to be to do all the changes that are going to be required there to do. But in my personal opinion, there's a lot of things that are probably a little more important than just the changing of the flag.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Brandon, as we talk about this, because a lot of times, say you have a Major League Baseball team, if they change their color scheme or their logo, and I grew up near Houston, so I've been a Houston Astros fan throughout the years, and they've changed their color scheme and their logos throughout the years, and it was almost always driven by the idea that we can make more money if we change it this way. I mean, that's the plan. And yet, the reason recently for a lot of changes, for instance, the Washington Redskins to the Washington whatever they are now, the Cleveland Indians to the Cleveland Guardians, these were instead not based on can we make more money with a new logo and a new color scheme, but rather can we satisfy the woke left. And that to me just, and I know you feel the same way, it just doesn't seem like a very good reason.
I agree with that 100%. It seems like there's a group of individuals who they're not going to be satisfied no matter what changes are made, and the vested interest that they have in what you would call the woke left, the vested interest I don't believe is really there. I think they just want to be loud, and I think they just want to be heard. But as far as what they are actually accomplishing, I don't believe is helping anybody, including themselves.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, let's go to the phone lines.
I know the Cedar. Just on that, I know in Cedar City they changed the Cedar Redmond to the Cedar Reds.
Yeah,
tell me the difference there.
Yeah, I
don't see it.
I know there are still a lot of very angry, and I lived in Cedar for 1 year when we first moved to Southern Utah. They have a lot of pride in the Redmen, and they're still angry, most of them, that they made that change seemingly without consulting anybody except the woke left. But all right, let's go to the phone line. Dale is on line two. You're on with Annie and with Mayor Humphreys. How are you?
Yeah. Good morning, Mayor. Hey, I just want to, I have a daughter who lives up there, and I just want to make a couple comments. It's my son-in-law commutes every day down, and I don't know how he does it in the winter, but also, when people are traveling up there, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
You need to be careful of the deer. When you're going up the Pass Central or down, I'm one of those who got one of those deers coming down. I go up to my kids, my grandkids' game sometimes. Luckily enough, when I got my deer, I almost hit a couple of them, but luckily enough, there are a lot of deer up there. People need to be aware of that when they're commuting up there, traveling back and forth. But luckily enough, one of the teachers that was coming up that worked at Deseret Hills there told me, you know, we threw the deer away, called the police, had to wait an hour. The cell phones don't work up there where I got it at. But other than that, it's a nice little community. My daughter loves it up there. They like the cold winter up there. That's actually why they moved up there, to get away from the heat. But it's a nice little community. Just be careful of the deer when you're commuting, when you're going up there.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Dale. Brandon, my mom always, I mean, she passed away a couple of years ago, but my mom always used to say whenever we were, and they lived in New Harmony, whenever we were going anywhere involving New Harmony or Enterprise or Cedar or whatever, almost always the last words out of her mouth were, "Watch for deer, honey." I miss her saying that, yeah. But that's definitely a reality between Enterprise and St. George.
Yes, and I'm sorry for the passing of your mother.
Thank you.
Deer are one of those, are definitely one of those animals that, particularly in the spring and in the fall when they're migrating to and from their winter and their summer habitat, there are a lot of deer on the road. And it seems like because of the elevation change and because of the distance that you're covering, there is always a potential for having deer on the road. I know just south of Dameron Valley, there is a lot of deer that are hit in that area. There's a lot of deer that are hit in Mountain Meadows, a lot of deer that are hit in Central. And we work closely with DNR. We're working closely with UDOT right now to see if there is a potential solution to that. Obviously, the growth is going to continue on U18, even if it's just one house per year. There's still going to be growth on the U18 corridor.
Yeah.
And the traffic is not going to slow down, meaning the growth of the traffic is not going to slow down. And so that is something that we are definitely conscious of. I don't know what the answer to that is. I've seen what they've done in northern Utah with a lot of those areas where there's migratory animals. You know, they're making overpasses and
ridges,
underpasses,
yeah,
on the highways.
Yeah.
And we currently don't have any of those in our county. Those are some of the things that we're looking at. I do know that there's a huge cost that's associated with them.
I was going to say, that sounds expensive.
You would think,
yeah,
it is expensive, but the insurance companies are paying a lot of money for vehicles that are being totaled and damaged to the animals as well, not to account for the loss of the animals themselves.
Yeah. All right. I got to get a commercial break in and weather break. Brandon, hang on, if you will. We'll talk a little bit longer after this.
Punching holes in the liberal agenda. It's the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back. 941 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Brandon Humphreys, the mayor of Enterprise, is with me via the telephone. Brandon, how you feeling, man? You doing okay?
You bet.
Oh, good.
Doing great today.
That's good to hear. Some of the issues that come up when it comes to smaller communities are jobs, services, and places to live. Maybe we can talk a little bit about some of these. First of all, jobs. If I wanted to live in Enterprise and I decided just one day, you know what, I want to move to Enterprise. I want to buy a house and live in Enterprise and work in Enterprise. Are there jobs available in Enterprise, small town like that?
You know, there are jobs available at certain times. I haven't been applying for any jobs recently, so
yeah.
I can't tell you directly what's available right this second. But we do have, obviously, we do have the schools that are here. So for school teachers, there's job opportunities that do come open occasionally there. We have Dixie Power has an office up in Burrell, which is a short drive from here.
Mm-hmm.
We have an equipment dealer. We have a hardware store, several restaurants that are here. We have, as you mentioned, Marv's earlier. There's Marv's restaurant. There's the cafe, and there's a little sandwich coffee shop that just opened in Bracken's parking lot. Actually, I think it was Monday of this week.
Uh-huh. Plus the barbecue.
The barbecue. The barbecue is just open on special occasions.
Seasonal. Okay.
I think the first one's coming up here shortly. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I just briefly remember seeing a flyer about it. I think it's in April sometime that the barbecue will have its first opening. And then obviously with the farms, the feedlots, the dairies, and those types of agricultural operations. There's if somebody wants to work, there's usually a position for them to apply for a job and work here.
I just last time I was in Enterprise, I hit that I think it's E-Town, I think barbecue or something like that, and they had like one half a brisket left or something like that. So I bought it, and picture if you will me driving downhill on the SR-18 with my one handful of brisket and grease dripping down to my elbow and down into my mustache and beard, and yet it was a great feeling. I didn't have my kids are in the backseat going, "Dad, you're nuts," but I didn't mind it.
I've personally experienced that brisket,
yeah.
And I probably would have the only thing I probably would have done different than you is I would have taken whatever time was necessary to pull off the side of the road and just lusciously enjoyed that brisket.
That's true. I was maybe distracted driving a little bit. You're correct. So jobs are there, perhaps. Depending on what you're looking for, the profile of a teacher that takes a job up there in Enterprise, are these people that, do you get a lot of young teachers? Do you get a lot of people who want to live, have a small town feel and live and stay there a long time? What is the general profile of your school teachers at Enterprise?
It varies. We have a lot of our school teachers are people who grew up here, who went to the school system early on, and then as openings have been available, they've moved back and have become school teachers here themselves. My wife is currently a school teacher here at Enterprise High School.
Mm-hmm.
She grew up here, went through the schools, went through the school system here, and enjoys teaching here at Enterprise.
Do you have, and I'm guessing the answer is yes, a resource officer at the high school and middle school, or because obviously school shootings is on everyone's mind right now?
Yes, we do have a school resource officer. That is split between the Washington County School District as well as the Sheriff's Department.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a full-time resource officer at our high school.
Yeah.
Many of you know, and some of you don't know, that we do not have a middle school. So our high school is 7th through, I may get in trouble on this one because it may be even more than that, but it's 7 through 12 at least,
okay.
And it may be 6 through 12. So we have an elementary school that is K through 6, and then our high school goes 7 through 12.
That's good. I went to a high school that was 9 through 12. In St. George, it's high schools are 10th grade through 12th grade. I think Cedar still does 9 through 12, Cedar and Canyon View. But I went to a high school where 9th grade, when you were a freshman in high school, you're 14, green around the gills. You're 14 walking around hallways with these guys that have full beards, these 18-year-old guys. And you're like, it's kind of a weird feeling. So, and I imagine that's exaggerated a little bit when you're a 7th grader, you're, 11, 12 years old walking around the hallways with some of those 18-year-olds. But you learn to survive in a hurry, certainly, in those situations. All right, let's talk about housing. Oh, go ahead.
Fortunately, we have good kids in our community.
Yeah,
for sure. And they look out for each other, and that's a good thing.
Let's talk about housing now a little bit in Enterprise. You say a teacher, okay, we get a teacher to come back to town that wants to teach in Enterprise High School. Maybe they're not quite ready to buy a house. Are there apartments, places to live for these people?
There are more now than there's ever been in the past.
Okay.
We have recently, as the city council and administration, have focused on multi-use housing, on building some more apartment-styled homes that are available for people to rent, and there is more now available than there ever has been. Of course, finding the balance there, as you well know, is the key component for any administration.
Sure.
We want to make sure that there's enough, but obviously for those who own those facilities, we need to make sure that they stay rented. Otherwise you're losing money, and that's not good for anybody.
Well, and to me, the concern has always been, okay, I'm going to build an apartment building or a place that has, maybe four places available. that tends to sometimes attract people who don't make as much money, and sometimes those people who don't make as much money maybe don't take as good a care of things and have other social or legal issues. So, I've talked with Washington. You know, Washington City has been famous for building so many apartments in recent times, and I'm like, how? I've asked the mayor, how are you going to keep these apartments from descending over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years into really low income, low quality renters? And he said, well, that's a battle we definitely need to fight. You got to obviously put some effort into that.
I agree with that.
9:49. Now, get a quick commercial break, and I want to ask you about services when we come back. Medical services, shopping services, things that, can someone realistically live in Enterprise and not have to make that trip to Cedar or that trip to St. George? We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back. Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. It's 9:52. A couple of texts I want to get to as we're with her Enterprise Mayor, Brandon Humphreys. Sorry, I was reading and trying to talk at the same time, Brandon, but I got a text, and I'll let you respond to this. It's a long one, so I'll summarize some of it. It says, I've lived in St. George for 35 years. Always depended on Enterprise to get a 50-pound bag of potatoes in the fall. In the past, there have been lots of people who had small plots that sold potatoes to the public, but last fall, I had to drive all over Enterprise and ask a bunch of people about potatoes. And just wondering, are people still growing potatoes in Enterprise?
Very, very few compared to what there was 30 years ago.
Okay. Because just not as much land, not as much time, I don't know.
I would have to direct, where I don't farm them, I would have to ask the farmers directly, but I would bet that it's going to be associated with the financial aspect of it. Okay. Potatoes is a one harvest per year crop. I do know that it costs a lot to process them. It costs a lot to store them, and those facilities are expensive, and I just don't believe that there's the money to generate compared to what there is in other crops.
Okay, very good. Another text, somebody said, where do people in Enterprise go when they need a doctor? Now, there was a PA in Enterprise. Is there a doctor now, a PA, or somebody that can help people out, or do they have to travel into one of the bigger cities?
We actually have two facilities now in Enterprise. We have the Enterprise Medical Clinic that has been here for many years, and there's two PAs and a physician that comes up from St. George, I believe, on a weekly basis.
Okay.
And then we also have the Main Street Medical Clinic, which is Dr. Bracken. Dr. Bracken grew up in Enterprise, and he's recently moved back. Nice. His clinic's been open for at least 2 years, and he is an on-site doctor, physician, and so the services that are there with our medical is available to most of the residents, and there's a lot of people who travel from Central, from Vail, from the local areas to come here for those services.
By the way, if you want to call, we're down to about 5 minutes left with Brandon Humphreys, Mayor of Enterprise. The phone number is 673-5890, 673-5890. People have been texting, too, and I appreciate your text. The text line is 435-467-5842. And obviously, you need a specialist or something. You would have to go to a bigger city. But and I know there are a lot of people listening right now that are saying, well, I couldn't live in Enterprise because there's not a Walmart. What about other services besides medical? We talked about that and police. How about shopping, other kind of maybe services you might need in town? How is Enterprise fixed for that?
So we have a local grocery store that provides the necessary needs there. Inside the grocery store, we have a pharmacy, Stapley Pharmacy expanded, and they have a location here as well. Aaron Stapley has done a miraculous job there to provide the pharmacy needs of the community. We have a hardware store. We don't have a Walmart, but we have we have what a lot of people in our community refer to as the mini Walmart, which is a Family Dollar.
Okay.
We have several places to eat. There's Marv's, the cafe. We have gas stations, like I said, Bracken's Hardware Store, that recently rebranded as an Ace Hardware. So we're looking forward to some changes there. That's going to be unique, and we look forward to that. So if a person doesn't want to leave our community, the basic needs that they would need here are available to them.
They're covered. That's good to hear. Somebody just texted and asked about ambulance service.
I take a lot of pride in our ambulance service. I believe that we have the best ambulance service in the state of Utah. It's provided by the city of Enterprise. We have primarily volunteers. We have a full-time fire chief and EMS supervisor that is hired by the city. But the rest of our EMTs and our ambulance service is covered by volunteers. We have a very rapid response time and great personnel who work on our ambulance service.
I have lived at various times during my lifetime in small towns. It's funny because if you live in a larger place like St. George, a lot of times you can't wait to get out of the big city and slow life down a little bit. When I lived in smaller towns, I heard over and over again my friends say, "Oh, I can't wait to get out of this one horse town," and yet they don't know how good they have it. It's good to see, Brandon. It sounds like to me a lot of your people who grew up in this town and maybe wanted to get out realized at some point they had to get back.
I believe that's true. They went out and experienced what it was like to be in those larger communities and recognized really quick that their childhood was way, way better than what it could be if they grow up in a place where there's not as many opportunities as there is in our community for kids to grow up in.
Well, and speaking of kids, do you like it? And we're just down to a minute or so left. Do you like what Governor Cox and the legislature is doing as far as smartphones and trying to limit social media activity with our young people? Governor's gone as far as to say that they're actually ruining our young generation right now.
I believe that should be something that the parents take a little bit more of an active role in and control their own kids. Yeah. I think that's one thing that we're missing when it comes to regulations from a governmental standpoint. Parents have lost their role, in my opinion, in a lot of those cases. And I think the parents need to step up to the plate, and they're the ones who need to make the rules for their own kids. And if they believe that social media is playing a part, the parents need to be the ones who step up and take care of that.
He's Brandon Humphreys, mayor of Enterprise. Good to learn more again about Enterprise. And Brandon, thanks for taking a few minutes, and I'm glad you're feeling better, my friend.
You bet. Thank you.
See Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Be back with Open Lines tomorrow. Your chance to say what is on your mind. We'll talk to you then.